How's that, Brother Dave? Is that it right there? All right. That's good singing all the way around. I bless the name of the Lord, and we thank you for being here tonight. Matthew chapter 8. If you turn there and find the place in just for a moment, we're going to be looking there in Matthew chapter number 8. As we look there in the lesson, it's there. Verse 14 is where we're going to be reading from. And if you're able to stand, we'll look there. And verse 14, and when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw a great multitude about him, he commanded to depart to the other side. Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be in the house of God. Now we pray you'd bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. How we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little bit on Peter's wife's mother. Now, when you look at that, it's a real slap in the face of charismatics and Roman Catholics and people of that nature. And the reason being is because here is a subject that exposes the heresy of the Roman Catholic Church when it comes down to Mary. And whenever it comes down to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so forth and on. And the Pope claims that Simon Peter was the first Pope. Well, if it is, he left everything to, I guess, up in the air with him because he's got a wife. And the doctrine, the damnable doctrine of celibacy, which means you can't marry. If you're a priest, you can't get married. And as a result of that, you'll find out, then they turn right around and say, well, you know, Simon Peter was the first pope. Now, they get that from over there in the book of Matthew in chapter number 16. And you don't have to lose your place, but you can listen to it if you like. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was talking, and he asked his disciples there, who do men say that I am? Some said you're John the Baptist, some Elias, and some Jeremiah, and so forth and on. But then he said in verse 15 of Matthew 16, and then he said, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answereth and saith unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then he said, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter. And by the way, Peter's translated from a word, Petros, meaning a little rock. Thou art Peter, and a little rock, if you will, please. And upon this rock, that word is from Petro, and that means to you that he is the big rock. And let me tell you right now, you're going to find out that he said, upon this rock, talking about himself, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, let me tell you right now is the rock Christ Jesus is the rock that he's building his church upon. He adds to the church daily such as should be saved. And make no mistake about it is that when you come to know the Lord as your Lord and Savior, when you come to know him and you confess that you have a need for Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, when God saves you, he puts your feet on solid rock, establishes your going, and you can get going for him ever since. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at here tonight, you're going to find out is that under Romanism, they have failed to gotten caught more than one time. One of them is whenever they can test that Mary is a virgin forever. And whenever we know in the Bible record that she had other, her and Joseph had other children, if you will, please. They were half-brothers of the Lord, Obed, because the Holy Ghost of God is who planted the seed into the Virgin Mary. She was a virgin when she conceived, a virgin when she carried it, a virgin after she had him. And let me tell you, she didn't remain a virgin after that her and Joseph were finally reunited in marriage. Let me say to you that when you begin to look into it, you'll find is that Simon Peter's called an apostle, and you'll find out that he's a converted man, that he's been born into the family of God, washed by the blood, and born in God's family. Now, as a result of that, you'll find that in the text that we're looking at, you know, the chapter before that said, beware of false prophets to come to you in sheep's clothing. You know, the devil never comes with a pitchfork over his shoulder. He never comes in hollering boo at you. He never comes in trying to prod you along. See, I got to tell you, you've got to be careful. I'll tell you what he does. He comes in with another gospel. And let me tell you, he comes in trying to act sweet and all that business there. But here's what we've learned about it. Simon Peter was married. Simon Peter had a mother-in-law. And when you look into this Bible lesson that's there, somebody, you know, some nut may argue with you and say, well, it doesn't say now that he was married. It just said, no, it says he saw his wife's mother. See? Now, if you wanted to argue that, you'd just have to be too stupid for me to argue with, because you see what I'm talking about? And the Bible said when he walked into their house, and what a lovely thought that is. When's the last time you noticed the Lord in your house? I guarantee you right now it's always good to be able to sense the presence and the power of the Lord. And he walked into their house. What a great thought that is. What a lovely thought. And let me say to you that, if you will, she not only had a fever, but she needed somebody somewhere to be able to help. If you were to read all the accounts of it in Mark chapter number 1, Luke chapter number 4, and you read all the accounts that are given there, you'll find is that it's just a good thought about Jesus coming to Simon Peter's house, or his wife's mother, if you will. Now, I don't know if she lived with them, but it seemed like she must have. Because let me tell you right now is that he pinned it down and he looked at it. When Jesus saw that something was wrong there, he went to Peter's house and saw his wife's mother lay sick of a fever. Now, he's about to heal her of that. And let me tell you right now is, the mother-in-law is not running fever, but she's laying there sick when you read the account given in the book of Mark in chapter number 1. Now, the Bible said they besought him for her. I can promise you right now is we ought to be praying people. We ought to be people that will seek the face of God, the mind of God, not only in the face of sickness in our loved ones, but we ought to realize and know that when God answers prayer, it's always a blessed thing. But sometimes God's brought a blessing upon us, even in a tragedy, and we don't see it until way down the road somewhere. In this lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find out over there, the Bible says, and he touched her. Isn't that what he said there in about verse 15? Yes. And he touched her, took her by the hand, if you read Mark, and he lifted her up. And man, what a thing that must have been. Over there in the book of Luke, in the account, he stood over her and he rebuked the fever, and immediately she arose. What power is in the word of the Lord? And let me say to you, what a good thing that it is, and all of that. Let me tell you right now, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the honored guest in any home. And the touch of God makes us whole from whatever it is that plagues us. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, and let me tell you right now, is that we are, no doubt, each one of us, our own worst enemy. We really are. We can blame it on anybody and everybody else that you want to, but we are our own worst enemy. When I begin to look into the Bible, I begin to recognize, and I realize that. Do you realize or know that in this Bible here, that you'll find that God said over there in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, don't turn there, about verse number 3, that you and I ought to be in the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that's hard to be able to have that. It's hard to be able to maintain that. Let me tell you what the Bible says over there in the book of Matthew. Don't turn there, in chapter number 12, verse number 25, that you'll find out that a kingdom that's divided, that a city that's divided, that a house that's divided cannot stand. That's why there ought to be unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. When you begin to look into it, you'll find out, did you know that the Bible makes it very plain and very clear that the Bible said that a whisperer can separate chief friends. That's true. That's people yeah-yaying around. Now, I wouldn't be afraid tonight to be able to tell any one of you that's here. Out of all these years, you've never heard me whisper, backbite, and run anybody down behind their back. I mean, you just can't. I know sometimes you think that all my family's been filled in, and they're a gossiping bunch. But I don't tell them everything all the time. See? I'll let the Lord straighten the rest of it out with you. I want to say to you, did you know that the Bible said to have respect to persons is sin? I was thinking about whenever we've seen that and witnessed it a whole lot. Like, for instance, we've got top shelf singers in our church. And I want to tell you right now, is make no mistake about it, we're not in competition one with another. We thank God and bless the Lord for the talent that He's given and for you having enough boldness to be able to get something together and practice it up and then bless our hearts with that. But I want to tell you something. When you catch somebody that's got one singer and they'll ooh and swoon and this and that, and the next one, it's like they're totem poles, that's respect a person, and God won't bless that kind of thing. Make no mistake about that. I'll say to you that we wanted, when my wife and I were having children, we wanted to be able to have kids, and Lord, bless them with a talent, and let us use it for the glory of God. I had no idea that churches across the country would be jealous of my family and be rude and ugly sometime because of the fact that God had blessed them with it. That's awful quiet, and that's fine because I'm not going to be here long anyhow. But I just wanted to tell you right now is it's wrong for you to be enthusiastic about one of my family and one of these other church girls here that's in the church family, and you just sit like a totem pole or locked jaw and this and that. That's just absolutely rude. And God said you ought not to be a respecter of persons. We're losing something or another along. I didn't realize, no, and I know what you're thinking. I'm not thinking about none of you whatsoever. I've literally had people to tell me, Brother Dennis, I'm jealous of you and your family. Well, you shouldn't be. You should not be. I mean, my word, do you realize? I said, no, and I didn't have a clue what's going on. What do you want me to do? Browbeat them, beat them up, send them up there with a black eye and a big old lip and all that right there? Hey, it ought to be a blessing to you. One of these days, your little boy, grandboys, or granddaughters are going to be in this place. See? I just said all that to be able to say this, is that make no mistake about it, is that there's not a one of us that's not replaceable in this building, including myself. These young men that are busy and they're learning sometime learning to sing. And the only reason why some of these are maybe not singing, they didn't want to. If you're wanting to sing, you can. And all that right there. We had a man one time, you don't know him, and I'm not mentioning him. He came around and he said, I tell you what, he said, I got a song I've been practicing, preacher. This guy could not carry a tune in the bucket. If he ever got the right note, nobody has ever known it. When he sang, angels wept because of pity for him. He said, I got to tell you, preacher, right now, he said, I've got me a song that I'm working up. I'm afraid it's going to be a Sunday morning song. Now, if I'd have been any one of you girls that I know, any one of you young men that sing, if I knew it was that, I wouldn't be afraid of it. But boy, I'm telling you, there's a guy that just wanted to push it. And I thought to myself, man, hey, listen, sometimes God wants you to do something for somebody else and not just for yourself. But after he got through singing, I changed on that. Sometimes God just wants you to say no. In this lesson here that we're looking at, let me tell you something. To have respect of persons, the Bible said, is sin. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that here we've got some benefits that God gives us every now and again. Sometimes it's by medicine. Sometimes in the Bible, somebody had a lump of figs laid upon them where their injury was or their disease was. And I want to tell you, there's sometimes that the benefits are yet to come. And let me tell you, sometimes God will use medicine. Sometime you'll find that he goes beyond our expectation and carries them home. I remember years ago that I had listened to a man on the radio. He was a preacher. And I could hear him, and as he preached, and his voice was broken up. And he said, you know, I was busy on the job working, and said, my little girl got sick to the point of death. And said, boy, we'd pray, and we'd beg God, and beg God to do something in her behalf. And finally, she died. She passed away. There's an old boy that was an agnostic there on the job. And, of course, you know, people can be the meanest and rudest during a time like that. And said, well, I guess God didn't answer your prayer, did he? And he said, oh, yeah, he did. He just carried it further than I intended for him to. That's something right there. Tell you right now, yes, God knows exactly. He's on the throne. Everything's running right on time. And make no mistake about it. You're going to find that one of these days we're going to stand before him, and the benefits that are yet to come, we're going to enjoy every one of them. In closing, I want to say to you that, if you will, is that sometime there have been some people that were left sick. Remember that over there in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, Paul the Apostle said, I've left Trophimus at Miletum sick. You know why? Couldn't heal him. Now, they had the gift of healing back then, those apostles did. But he said, I want you to know I've left Trophimus over at Miletum. I've left him sick. And the reason being is because you and I can read between the lines, couldn't heal him. They did not have that gift that so many others falsely claim. You'll find out is that it did not last with the more the canonization of the scripture came in, the less that they had to manifest the power of God. I want to say to you that, if you will, that in verse 18, I want you to watch that passage there, that of our text. Now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he's been healing those that were sick, casting out those possessed with devils. In verse 18, and when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. Now, I want you to look at it and stop a minute and just think about it. Here, all of a sudden, you know, he's been ministering to this person and that person, some possessed with devils, some that were sick, and so forth and on. And now he sees a great multitude coming, and he says, let's go to the other side. Now, why is that? I'll tell you why. Is because that every now and again, you and I need to recognize and realize that we'd better come aside lest we come apart. That's the reason why that every now and again, you know, over there in the book of Mark in chapter number 6 and about verse number 3, you'll find, or 31, it may be that, I may have wrote it down wrong, but I want to tell you something. He said, you better come aside so you can rest a while. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist? They're running under a full head of steam. I'm telling you right now is the average service, you can't sit in a service without worried about what you're going to be doing tomorrow. Right. Or worried about some obligations that you've got. Or worried about, you see what I'm talking about? Yeah. And in the day we live in, it's more than just thinking about it. In fact is, if we have to be able to preoccupy ourselves, we'll just take that phone or take one of them laptops or take what and play as much as we possibly can. One thing Mr. Kirk said, you ought to every now and again, and you ought to take once a week, and you ought to take as a sabbatical, and you ought to take and cut it off and not even look at it and tell everybody that, you know, I'm not answering my phone anymore on the Lord's Day. You'll have 6 days to get a hold of me. Now, I'm going to tell you, and I realize, no, he's in heaven tonight, but amen. Amen, Charlie. I don't think I'll be able to supply that for myself, but I'm going to work on it. Every now and again, see, I'll tell you what you're not going to find me doing. You're not going to find me playing around on it and fiddling with it during church. There's a lot of people that need that to be able to not hear the message of God, and that's the day and hour that we're living in. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, we thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. We ask you.